How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Outrage addiction just makes us all stupider, and it prevents us from being able to understand key distinctions, prevents us from being able to properly analyze and interpret very simple concepts that are in front of us.
That's why I think it's so sad that patriarchy has become a bad word. God is our Father. No one understands the importance of fathers better than Christians, we who have God as our Father.
At least in American evangelicalism, there is this idea that the Holy Spirit works only through spontaneity. You got to be making it up on the spot, or else it's not spiritual. The Holy Spirit apparently only works through improv.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Long, long ago, I wrote an article called The Fad-Driven Church, and one of the premises of the article was that the whole purpose-driven thing that was happening at the time was just another church fad that would come and go. And in some ways, I was right, but in some ways, I was wrong. It stayed. It stayed and stuck around and maybe turned into a couple other things, as fads are wont to do. What is purpose-driven today, and how does it deal with Holy Scripture? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to be talking about purpose-driven twisting of Scripture. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest, and then we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943 to vote for Soundbite of the Week when we get there. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page is a great place to vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've left space for you to do so. Facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about purpose-driven twisting of Scripture. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
For purpose-driven pastors, what's the purpose of the Bible?
Well, the Bible is like an anthology of people whom God appeared to, revealed a purpose to them, either via direct revelation or a vision, and the steps that they went through in order for them to accomplish their God-given purpose. And therefore, we are to read the Scriptures in such a way that we can draw comfort from the difficulty that we're having in achieving our individual purposes or hearing the voice of God, so that we can be inspired to push through, so that we can make a difference in the world by achieving our God-given purpose.
So before we hear the examples that you brought for us, a simple definition of what purpose-driven was when it was first introduced by Rick Warren and what it's become today.
Yeah, you know, Rick Warren in the book, the Purpose-Driven Life, pretty much encapsulates the general idea here that God has created each of us for a purpose. And I got to say, that's kind of the seedbed for all of this. But since then, it has really morphed. It's morphed into several different things. And we've talked about the dream destiny thingy doctrine and, weird manifestations of this. But it seems like in our postmodern world, what Rick Warren was attempting to do was address the overt feeling of nothingness, that there was no purpose to life at all, kind of the nihilism of our postmodern age, and try to give something of a Christian-ish answer to it. And since then, it has really become an evangelicalism, like the primary central dogma of this nebulous movement in and of itself. And it's like the default assumption as far as well, why we read the scriptures at all. It's because God wants to do these amazing things in our life. And so, you know, we need to push through and make that happen.
You have brought several examples of what the purpose-driven approach does with respect to scripture. What are we going to hear first?
Sure. We're going to be listening. All four sound bites are Joe Boyd of Aviator Church in Derby, Kansas. And he was one of these first-generation seeker-driven, purpose-driven church planters. So his church has been around for a lot longer than many of them. And Joe Boyd, in this sermon, is going to explain to us, how he reads scripture. So he's going to begin by talking about the call of Abraham from Genesis 12, and we'll just analyze what he's doing with this text.
In fact, in the Old Testament, God had a plan for a man who was uncertain about what God was asking him to do. His name was Abraham. In fact, early on, he was called Abram, and he lived in a land that worshiped a false god, that worshiped a god of the moon, and the god of the moon was called Nanar. Everybody say Nanar. Now, he was comfortable there. He was in line to grow up with his father and inherit everything his father had to say, had to offer him. But in Genesis 12, verse 1, God had a different plan for him. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. See, sometimes when God calls us to take a step of faith, he calls us to take a step that feels uncertain. But when God calls us to take a step of faith, he calls us with a promise. And in fact, he goes on to say in verses 2 and 3 what he was going to do. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. See, Abraham had to make a choice, and you and I have to make choices every day. But the choices we make today will shape the stories we'll tell in the future. And it's important to know that he knew exactly what God said to him. But we're not changed by knowing what God says. We're changed by doing what God says. It requires a step of faith, and it requires a step of obedience.
Okay, so first, what did he do with that whole story of Abraham?
Well, you'll note that he literally makes it into a template that you should expect that this same set of events in one way or another should play out in your life the same way. So what he's done is he's taken a historical narrative, which is a descriptive text, and he's turned it into a prescriptive formula that we too, like Abraham, should expect God to speak to us directly and give us a plan for our lives. We should expect to hear this from God, specifically from him. And he took the promise that was there about the Messiah, about Christ, the seed of Abraham, through whom the whole world would be blessed, and turned that into a generic promise that things are going to go well for you like they went well for Abraham after he received his purpose. It's a weird reading of scripture.
What did you make of his dichotomy of we're not changed by knowing what God says to us, but by doing what God says to us?
Yeah, talk about a confusion of law and gospel. Yeah, it's not even good law. It's like really bad law. Let me explain what I mean there. And that is that God's word comes to us, the written word of God, and it has two words for us, the law and the gospel. And the law tells us what God demands of us. And because we are sinners, whenever God's law shows up to make demands upon us, it also accuses us of not fulfilling those demands. We're stuck, literally. The law is just like sticks us to the wall and says, you're guilty. You haven't done the will of God. And we can find God's law really succinctly summed up for us in the Ten Commandments. Please consult your small catechism for further details. But then being found guilty by God's law, then, we need to hear a word of assurance, because otherwise all we're going to hear is judgment and eternity in hell for you. or for me. And so the gospel comes along and tells us the promises of God that that are in Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, regeneration, resurrection, eternal life. And then what happens is once the condemning use of the law is silenced by the gospel, now we can take a look at God's law and say, oh, this is God's will for us moving forward, which is why one of the things we've talked about in the past is that God has not created any of us for a purpose, but we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, instead that God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works. And those good works, we don't get to self-elect those or just make them up on the fly. They are spelled out for us very clearly in the law of God. And so Christians then bearing fruit in keeping with repentance are zealous for good works. And if you're thinking, zealous, that doesn't sound like a Lutheran thing to say. Well, that's exactly what the Apostle Peter says, that we are zealous for good works. And so that's a proper way of doing this. That's good law then condemns us and shows us what a good work is. But this isn't even good law. This is bad law because you're sitting there, you know, going, well, I've got to do these things and I need to be obedient to this nebulous voice that I'm supposed to be hearing from God, but I'm not sure exactly what he's saying. And so I've got to step out in faith, and I'm not going to be changed by hearing this voice. I'm only going to be changed by obeying it. And you're going to note then it gets really, really fuzzy on the facts as to what it is that God is expecting of me or you. And it's going to be different for each of us.
Where does he take us next?
So next will be the different for each of us portion of this. Listen to what we should expect God telling us to do.
So my question to you is this. What does God want you to do? I believe that God's calling all of us to take steps of faith. And the question is, what step of faith do you need to take next? For some of us, it may be that God's calling you to start a group. You feel uncertain. You're not sure what you're going to teach. You're not sure who's going to show up. But you just feel in your heart that God's called you to impact a small group of people to make a difference and that we can do life together. I've got news. We have opportunities for you to start a group. You may have a tug on your heart to get involved in Aviator Kids ministry or possibly start student ministry. And God's put it on your heart to make a difference in the next generation. For others, God may have a story that he's written in your heart that you need to put out in a book. For others, you may be a person who needs to take that step of faith and you need to apply for that job that you've been afraid to try for. And others, God may be calling you to start a business. And your story may be that we started and we didn't have anything, but we just took steps of faith. While others, I believe God may be calling to expand your family or start your family. It may be that God's calling you to have a child. It may be that God wants you to be a part of the foster care system. It may be that God is calling you to adopt. But whatever your step of faith, it requires us to take a first step. In fact, what I know without a shadow of a doubt is that God doesn't expect you to have the faith to finish, but he does expect you to have the faith to start.
Chris, we've got about a minute before we need to take a break. That's a mess.
It's almost impossible to untangle that. And you're going to note that some of the things he's mentioned there literally would be good works. I mean, good works that are done for our neighbor in our vocation. But it's this weird thing in evangelicalism. When it comes to the things of God, like my relationship with God, it's all up to my free will to make a decision. And then when it comes to the things that God, my purpose or whatever, well, that's dictated by God. And I've got to learn how to step out in faith and just obey. I have a bound conscience horizontally, apparently in evangelicalism, but vertically with God, I have a free conscience. Everything is backwards, upside down, and inside out. And this is no way to read scripture. And it just creates all kinds of confusion and anxiety in the person listening to this.
It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about a purpose-driven twisting of scripture. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris's presentation, making the case against modern-day prophets and apostles, is one of almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching on a new audio DVD from the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. You can order yours by making a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300 to Issues Etc., Order online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. An audio DVD from both of our Issues, etc. Making the Case conferences. When we come back, this notion of making a beginning. God doesn't expect you to finish, but He does expect you to make a beginning. We'll talk a little bit about that in Purpose-Driven Twisting of Scripture. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues, Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
I want to tell all these women, this is what the patriarchy was trying to protect you from. They wanted to make sure something like that never happened to you.
Praying in faith does not mean stoking up some sort of quality in our own hearts. It rather means reading the Lord's word and finding His promises and asking Him to keep His promises.
When the dark gets darker, the light's going to get lighter. And as evil as this world is, Christ is going to shine brighter in us the more that we hold on to His word.
They, in fact, are not Catholic. They are more Roman than they are Catholic. We Lutherans are the true Catholics because we are maintaining the Church's historic doctrine and practice.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play those four soundbites for you in their entirety, and then you get a chance to vote for them by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or voting in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about a purpose-driven twisting of Scripture. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. I wanted you to comment briefly on something before we go on to the next one, which is he's talking there in very vague terms. It may be this, it may be that. Maybe God's calling you to do this. If you don't know exactly what God is calling you to do, which I probably would account for about 99% of the people listening to this guy, and the 1% are wrong, how do you obey if you don't know exactly what God is calling you to do?
You have to begin to step out in faith, and then you look for confirmation. And I hate to say it, but it's a lot like trying to read omens. You know, you look for confirmation, and then it's almost like going through life, like a Jedi. You reach out with your feelings and wait for the force to kind of move you in this direction or that direction. It really is a terrible way to live your life, because you are never certain of anything. At all, your salvation, whether you're hearing God's voice, whether you are achieving your purpose. I mean, it throws you into a complete fog that you have to abandon the theology in order to hope to be able to have some clarity in your life.
What's next?
All right, so he's going to continue with the Abraham theme and tie in a cross reference from Hebrews 11 to explain how this supposedly then works in the as you approach the end of your purpose.
When we look at Abraham, the rest of his story is told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How am I going to start a group? How am I going to work in kids? How am I going to make a difference in students? How am I going to start that book or apply for that job? Or how am I going to expand my family? It is by faith that we have to take these steps. You don't know how it's going to finish, but God isn't expecting you to finish. He's expecting you to start. And oftentimes, the blessing of God is often on the other side of our obedience. When we listen to God and we obey him, God does miraculous things. God did it then, and he can do it again. The question is, how will you follow God's plan in your life? I believe the answer is by faith. I believe that we have to take the first step. And you might have doubts, and you might have fears in this uncertainty, but let me tell you, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Okay, there were a lot of catchy phrases in there.
Yeah.
What was he saying?
Basically, it's kind of like the old Nike commercials. You just do it. Do you feel like God is calling you to be a ballerina? Well, just do it. Start stepping out and in faith and obeying, and God will kind of circle in and make a finish to the thing that you've started. Now, this is kind of an important piece that we have to throw in here. And that is that this is an overt twisting of God's word. And the reason why is because we understand that when we look at God's word, it gives historical narratives, but there are also didactic portions of scripture, which is why the epistles are so helpful for us, because we have explicit teaching and oftentimes explicit interpretation of historical narratives found in the epistles. And so if you read like Romans chapter 4, it actually gives us the interpretation of the call of Abraham and what this was all pointing to, and it has nothing to do with this. So you're not going to find in Scripture a didactic text that lays out the steps for obeying when God reveals your unique purpose for you. There is no text that teaches this doctrine. And so what they're doing is they're twisting the historical narratives and assuming this doctrine or creating this doctrine whole cloth, but it's nowhere revealed in Scripture.
Okay, so this idea that, and it just seems to get vaguer the closer you get to actually making that step of faith, that this just becomes pure fideism. There's nothing to hang on to here. He's got no word of God. He's got no scripture behind this. He's got nothing. He's just saying, just leap, and then God will somehow tell you where you're going to land.
Right. This is kind of like the Kierkegaardian leap into the darkness. It's like this, what's weird is behind the whole purpose-driven movement, Kierkegaard's philosophy is not too far behind. It's actually kind of the underpinning of a lot of purpose-drivenism. So I think it's quite ironic that Kierkegaard's leap of faith shows up in achieving your purpose. Next soundbite, by the way, though, is he's going to talk about how you overcome that anxiety. Remember, the Bible is like a recipe formula for looking for people who experienced, God spoke to them, gave gave them their purpose. And so if you're having this anxiety about taking the next step and just obeying and getting things started, don't worry. We can look in the recipe book and find an anthology of somebody who had a similar issue when God came to him with his purpose.
God really does call people to take incredible steps, even when they don't feel equipped. One of the scriptures that I'm drawn to that reminds me of this is whenever God told Moses to go to Pharaoh to set his people free. And God's been using people that follow him to set people free from their addictions, their bondage, their loneliness, their depression. And in fact, Moses had this moment where he had doubt and fear. He had a decision to make, but he was pushing back, and God responds to him. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, it says, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. God gave Moses the words, the vision, and the direction. And we know that he made a decision to step into the call that God gave him. And every step of the way, God provided. Every step of the way, God showed him the way. The question is, will you follow and obey what God calls you to do?
Okay, so where does he end up with, well, I think he started with a vague reference to Abraham. Where has he left his listeners?
So now we read the story of Moses, and Moses, you know, he had anxiety regarding, you know, his purpose that God revealed to him. And so we just need to kind of, you know, stiff upper lip and just charge ahead into the darkness and, you know, like Moses, just go and start doing it, and God will then, you know, fill in the rest. And again, you're going to note here is that as you're listening to this, it creates fear and anxiety and uncertainty within you, because you're not what's my next step? It's like, you know, you almost need to go find a fortune cookie and pray that God will speak to you in the fortune cookie to tell you what your next step is so that you can begin to obey. And what he never talks about is obeying God where God has revealed what his will is for us in the Ten Commandments. Never talks in that way. And we all have this anxiety about wanting to obey God. If God is talking to me, I better obey him. But he's not pointing us to the places where God has actually already spoken and said we need to obey. Instead, it's all about kind of divining these weird, vague tea leaves to discover my purpose and get busy doing it. And of course, you know, everybody's hoping in the purpose-driven lottery that we're not given some, you know, kind of dinky purpose. We always want to have something special and spectacular so that at the end of the day, we can say that we've really changed history. And so, but yeah, there's no guarantee of that either. It really is just a complete uncertain mess that he leaves everybody in. And the person who gets kicked to the curb in all of this is Christ, because each of these stories that he's referenced actually in type and shadow point us to Jesus. And the Genesis text has an explicit promise regarding Christ, that in Christ all of the world, all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. And that's the place where you sit there and talk about what that blessing is, the forgiveness of our sins because of him bleeding and dying for us on the cross. And that is not even on their radar, because they think it's all about them. And this is somehow, you know, just a recipe book of learning how, like they did, to hear your purpose from God and then go and do it.
Chris, I'm trying to figure out, and there are people who seriously sit at the feet of these teachers,
yep,
and try and put this into practice every single day. You just used the term I want you to explain, the purpose-driven lottery. What did you mean by that?
Oh, purpose-driven lottery. So here's what happens is that at churches like this, people will give testimonials. And so somebody said, you know, they'll put somebody on camera, they'll play the kind of the sappy music in the background or their inspirational music, and they'll put a couple up and they'll say, you know, we put this into practice, and we put God to the test, and we began to obey. We believe that God was calling us to do this, that, or the other thing, and then here's what happened. See, it works. And so people are going, okay, so there's an example of it, and you're thinking, okay, so I want to hear from God, and I'm just hoping that he's not going to send me to Africa, or he's not going to tell me to sell my house and give it to some poor person. You see, what's weird about the testimonials in these churches is sometimes the things that they're saying God told them to do are like crazy. I mean, you know, so God told us that we needed to sell our house and give it to this person over here. And we thought that's the craziest thing to do. But we had confirmation because there was an eagle, a bald eagle standing on the top of our house. And so we knew because that the eagle was there that that was truly what God wanted. I'm not making this up. These are stories that they tell there. And so, you know, the people, you know, listening there going, I don't know if I'm buying into this, but if I do, I'm hoping that I don't get told by God to do something crazy. I want to do something important and meaningful. And at the end of the day, I want people to write songs and stories and, you know, history books about me. It's really a crazy jumble.
So finally on this, what's the most dangerous thing? Because against all my expectations, I thought purpose-drivenness was going to play itself out in 5 or 6 years and be completely gone. But I was wrong. It stuck around, and it's more virulent than it ever was before. To someone who is listening to us who gets this from their pastor, what's the greatest danger, and what should they do about it?
All right, so the greatest danger is the danger that Jesus actually spoke to the Pharisees. He said of them, he says, "You diligently search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Yet they are the very scriptures that testify about me, and you refuse to come to me so that you may have life." The great danger here is spending all this time reading the scriptures and missing the fact that the whole text, I mean, from Genesis to the book of Maps, is about Christ, and missing that it's really about him and what he's done for us. And as a result of it, you're going to put in a lot of hard work and spiritual energy and religious motion. And at the end of the day, you're going to hear from Jesus, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so the problem here is not that they're not reading their Bible, it's that they have no clue how to unlock it. And the cross itself is the key that unlocks all of the scriptures. And when you understand that, then the scriptures come alive and you see in scripture this beautiful story from beginning to end of God's steadfast love towards obstinate, rebellious, sinful human beings and him demonstrating his love for us even yet while we were yet sinners. Christ dies for us and him calling us to repentance and to be forgiven and spend eternity with him. And we must see Christ in the scriptures, because if all we see is ourselves, then what we're really seeing is the reflection of the devil in scriptures. And that's not any way to read the Bible.
What can you tell us about tonight's Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight's Fighting for the Faith will be, as I continue to work my way through the book of 1 Samuel, we're almost at the end of 1 Samuel, and looking at what scripture reveals regarding the doctrine of the kingdom.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough in Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's time to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a simple game that we play with our listeners as often as we can. We've got 4 soundbites to play for you. After we have played them, it's your turn to vote for one of them to be Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'd like to know who you are, where you listen, and why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Vote in advance at our Facebook fan page as well, facebook.com/issuesETC. We'll be right back with Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor. And today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armed forces. The LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armed forces.